Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to talk about how you can fulfill God's will for your life. And I've been talking the last few days about running with patience, how important patience is, and I'm going to be back on that again today. Let me just mention that on Monday of this week, I talked about our recent trip to the UK and to Uganda, and I gave a little brief testimony, and then I realized afterwards that my TV producer, Stephen Bransford, he went with us and he filmed a lot of this, and we're going to be producing some programs from this. But one of the things that Stephen did was write a blog every day about what happened during that day. And so our 2 weeks of ministry have, I guess it's 14, if it's not, it's 12 or 14 updates about everything, including our travel, meeting people, healings, the content of the ministry, and things like this. And so, as I said, in the fall, we are going to be producing a program that will give a kind of a prolonged update on all of the things that God is doing in some of these other places. But if you would like to read his daily blog about the ministry and what it was like, it's really good. And he's included pictures in it and things like this. And so you can go to our AWM homepage. And on there, I think that the it's entitled Andrew's Travel Journal or something like that. And Stephen wrote this down, and it would be a way for you to document this, and it would really be a blessing to you. I tell you, I was impacted by the way that the Word of God is changing people's lives all over the world. So please check that out. Today's going to be my last day to talk about how important patience is in fulfilling God's will in your life. And really, this is the kind of thing that you just could never exhaust it. I could continue to talk about this and make applications forever, because if you don't have patience, if you can't wait, and I'm not talking about just waiting like you're patting your foot and saying, God, when are you coming through? But if you can't continue to focus and be attentive and keep your faith active over a prolonged period of time, then you aren't going to see the fulfillment of God's will. It just takes time for God's will to come to pass. You know, we live in a day of fast food, but fast food doesn't taste as good as home cooking, and home cooking takes longer. God's will, you can't microwave your miracle. It just takes time for God's will to come to pass. And in my life, I can tell you that, man, I have seen this come to pass. I can't say that I'm perfect in this area, but I have so much more patience than I used to. And I have been seeking the Lord now for 42 years with all of my heart. And over that period of time, God has done a lot of things. And I am at a place of believing for things today that I couldn't have even conceived 4 decades ago. And one of the major deals is patience. You know, I hate to keep using myself as an example, but I'm focused on this, and so it's just kind of at the forefront of my attention. But we're, you know, God has told me that we need a place for our Bible college. We've taken some steps. We've bought this property. We're moving in that direction, and it's a multi-million dollar deal. And I have had to exercise a lot of patience. I'm the kind that in myself, I would just like to, man, tell everybody everything I know the moment that I know it and things like this. But you know what? I've had to exercise patience. We've had to wait on, I remember that the purchase process was about 2 or 3 months long that we were dealing back and forth. And I had to exercise patience and wait until it was done. And then even after we bought the property, before we could start telling people about it, we needed to have some kind of a plan of what we were going to do. And so I had to start meeting with builders and architects. And, you know, it's now been a year since I began this process. And we have just now started advertising this and telling people about what's going on. It's taken a full year for me to get up in gear and start talking about this. Back 20 years ago, I couldn't have done that. I couldn't have maintained my focus and stuff. But this is part of maturity. Growing in the Lord, you get to where you are patient and you can see things. You give it a little bit of time. It doesn't have to happen right now. You know, I wish somehow I could talk to every one of you individually, because I know that this is an area that people are really lacking in, is this area of patience. And yet I feel sometimes like it's not making the impact on you that it should. I wished I could talk to you face to face. I could guarantee you that this is an area that all of us have need of patience. And here's the way that it works. I go back to the scriptures that I started this teaching on patience with out of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So I've been talking about how important it is. Now, how do you do it? In verse 2, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Boy, there is a lot in those verses. These are verses that I've meditated on for 40 years, and they have been used by the Lord hundreds and hundreds of times to keep me on track and keep me going. And there's just a lot more here than what I can say. But notice that you have to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And really, this in a nutshell is what keeps people from being patient. People aren't looking to Jesus. They aren't focused on the Lord. They aren't listening to the Lord. They aren't sensitive and responsive to the Lord. But the truth is, most people are more goal-oriented, more physical-oriented. They are letting the physical, natural realm dominate them. And like some of the very verses that I started with also out of Isaiah chapter 40, I was showing that patience is not something that is in human nature. God is the only one who doesn't get weary and who doesn't faint. Even the youths are going to faint, but those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Your strength and your ability to be patient over a prolonged period of time, it doesn't come out of you. It is not humanly, it's not just a human trait. It's not natural. Look at this passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 35. It says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Patience is confidence that goes on through these trials of life. I couldn't even number the amount of times that I was so discouraged, and yet as I was in relationship with God, and as I would pray, and as I would seek Him, God would just speak an encouraging word to me. God would remind me of things that He told me in my life. And it was that looking unto Jesus and having the Lord speak directly to me that renewed my strength and revived me. And I'm telling you, there isn't any other way to really operate in patience. You know, unless you're shooting at nothing. I mean, if you're shooting at nothing, you're going to hit it every time. But if you set a goal that is beyond yourself and that it takes God to fulfill, you're going to experience some delays. You're going to have some hardships and some things that will tend to put you off and discourage you. And the only way I know how to overcome that is to just go back and look unto Jesus. You get in relationship with the Lord. It's your personal relationship with the Lord. And He will speak things to you that will renew your strength, that will cause you to mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, and walk and not faint, as it says in Isaiah chapter 40. It's just that personal relationship. It's your union with the Lord. And if you don't have that, and I think that most people really are not as strong in their relationship with God as what they need to be. They can get out here and, you know, they can follow the seven steps and they can go through these rituals and they can do all of these natural things. But I can promise you that there is a time that every bit of advice that has been given to you is going to look like you've done it and it didn't work. All of your goal-oriented things, all of the seminars that you've been to, there will be a time in your life that for you to follow God's will, you are going to only make it if you get into relationship with God and have Him speak things directly to your heart. He knows how to give you a word that's in season. He knows how to speak to you exactly the thing it takes to build you up. And if you don't have that, if you're just going by these natural things and waiting on me or someone else to say something to you, it's not going to work. It's like it says here in Hebrews chapter 12, you have to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And then it uses him as an example. This is how he persevered through the cross and through all of the suffering and the shame. It said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, again, here's the way that humans do it. When we come up against something, we tend to inventory all of the problems, all of the hardships. We think about, this is going to cost me this and this and this. We talk about the financial thing, the health. We see all of the negatives and we evaluate all of the negatives. And after we've accumulated this huge pile of doubt over here, then we try and overcome it with our little mustard seed amount of faith. This says that the way that Jesus was able to endure the cross was because he set the joy before him. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus didn't count the cost and that he wasn't aware that there was a tremendous amount of suffering. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we see that Jesus praying, and he was in so much agony and grief over this that he was nigh unto death. He sweat like great drops of blood. Jesus was aware of the physical cost, but this right here says the way he was able to endure it was he set the joy before him. Jesus wasn't oblivious or ignorant of the physical, emotional cost of dying for our sins, but that's not what he was focused on. He was looking past that to what his death and resurrection and the redemption of mankind would produce and how it would change people's lives. You know, I often say this when I'm in churches, but I'll just take the people sitting on the front row. And I said, look at all of the suffering that they've had. The people that have died in their life, divorces, sickness, anger, heart, problems, emotional, physical, all of these kind of things. And if you could imagine all of the problems that just the people on one row had, well, Jesus looked at them through the eye of faith and saw that through him they would be forgiven, that marriages would be restored, that bodies would be healed, that finances would come in, that they would be changed and all of these things. And it was looking at the positive results of what he was going through that motivated him, completely contrary to the way most of us do it. If we are going to have patience, patience will force you to take your attention off of all of the negative things that are looking contrary to what God has spoken, and it'll make you focus on what God has put in your heart. You know, I can't tell you the number of times that I've done this. Again, I've revealed some of these things during this teaching, but God called me to the ministry in 1968. And he put in my heart to reach lots and lots of people. I really believe, like when our ministries opened up and now we can be seen by 2.2 billion people a day around the world. Not all of those watch, but that's how many people are under our television signals. 2.2 billion people. And, you know, I've had people come up and say, you probably never thought of that. You know, I always knew in my heart that I was going to be doing something like that. I had no idea how I'd get there. I didn't know how it would come to pass. I've been surprised at some of the things along the way, but I've always believed that I was going to be reaching people all over the world. God just put that in my heart. And so that's been in my heart, but I went for decades that people stayed away from my churches and my meetings by the thousands. I mean, we ministered to 10 people a week for years. And that's all that we could get, doing everything. And there was so much frustration and stuff. But you know what? I can tell you that this is how I was able to continue on when I had a vision on the inside that didn't match what I was seeing in the physical. It was basically just personal relationship with God, looking at Jesus. I'd go back to him and I'd say, Father, what about this? Am I totally off base? Should I be content with ministering to 15, 20 people in this Bible study? Is this what you've called me to do? And I'd go back and I'd just constantly keep in communion with the Lord. And God just reinforced to me thousands of times that I was doing what he told me to do. Just keep at it, that someday I would reach large numbers of people. And he kept fanning the flames on the inside. I really don't have a shortcut. I don't have another way to tell you how to have patience. You have patience by looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Some of you are wanting me to just give you something, wave my hand over you, and all of a sudden all discouragement and everything leaves. That's not how it works. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus. You need to get into relationship and pray about those goals. Make sure that they are God-given goals. If they are really of God, He'll confirm them. He'll reinforce them. He'll make them even stronger. During some of the periods of my life where, I mean, it looked like nothing was working, I would get into my relationship with the Lord and I'd be praying and saying, God, what's going on? And that's when God gave me some of the clearest direction and spoke things to me. And those words that came directly from God just built a fire on the inside of me. And during a time that in the natural, I should have been more discouraged than any time in my life, those were some of my strongest times of believing because I had a word from God, a fresh word. And God was speaking to me. And then I would, like it says here, who for the joy that was set before him endured all of these things. After I was in relationship with God and he would show me these things, I would set those goals. I would take the words that God gave me and I would set them in front of me and I would look at those things instead of looking at just the natural things. You know, the Apostle Paul said the same thing, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Some people think that's crazy. If they can't be seen, then how can you see them? It's not talking about seeing with your physical eyes. It's talking about seeing with your heart. The things that can't be seen are more eternal. They are more sure. They're more steadfast than the things that can be seen. You know, if you're in a tough time and if it seems like that the direction for your life is just not going the way that you believe it should, what I would encourage you to do is to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You need to take off from work. Take away from all of the normal daily activities or something that are occupying you and just get in the presence of God. Man, put on some worship and praise music and get your mind so stayed upon God. And then as you get into the presence of God, pour your heart out. Tell Him what's going on. And God will speak to you. And maybe there needs to be a reclarification. Maybe you are heading in a direction that wasn't God. And if so, well, then make a correction. But if you are headed in the right direction and you just aren't seeing things happen, then God will speak something to your heart. He will give you something that will encourage you. And then once you get that word from God and He either says, turn and go this direction, or He'll tell you, you're going exactly the way I want you to, just keep going. Once you get that word, then you focus on what God says and you don't listen to all of the critics. You don't look at all of the negative circumstances. You put your attention on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, and then whatever He tells you, you look at that and set that joy before you, and you despise all of these other reports and everything else. You know, I wish I had time to turn over to the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew. This is a great example of what we're talking about, because Jesus commanded His disciples to get into a ship and go to the other side. And it's only about a 2 to 4 hour trip maximum across the Sea of Galilee. I've been on that sea in a boat, and it doesn't take very long to get across that sea. And yet, after about 8 or 9 hours, they were only halfway across because the wind was contrary to them. God had told them to do something. They were headed in a direction, and to their credit, did you know what? They could have quit. If the wind was contrary to them and they had only covered about 1 hour's worth of distance in 9 hours, that shows you how severe this wind was blowing against them. All they would have had to have done is turn the boat around and put the sail up. And I mean, in just a few minutes, they would have been back at the shore and they would have been saved. But to their credit, they were still headed in the direction that God gave them. But it looked like they were going to drown. But they just kept going in that direction. And then the Lord came walking unto them on the water. And when they saw Him, Peter said, Lord, if that's really You, then bid me come unto You on the water. And the Lord said, come. And Peter got out of that boat and Peter walked on the water. That is absolutely miraculous. And you know how he did it? He did it by looking unto Jesus, the the author and the finisher of his faith. As long as he was focused on Jesus, as long as he was looking at Jesus and seeing Jesus walking on the water, Peter walked on the water. But then it says he took his eyes off of Jesus, he saw the wind and the waves boisterous, and he was afraid and began to sink. You know, it's amazing. He had already done the miraculous. He was already walking on the water. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he saw the wind and the waves. Did you know the wind and the waves were already there? But as long as he was looking at Jesus, these natural things didn't affect him. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus, then he began to relate to the natural and he thought, what am I doing out here? And he became afraid and began to sink. Did you know that the wind and the waves didn't have anything to do with him walking on the water? He couldn't have walked on the water if there hadn't been any wind and waves. But what that did, it just took his attention off of the Lord and off of the word that God had given him, come. And he began to look at things in the natural realm and he began to sink. You know, I just know in my heart that God is speaking to some of you today, and you have headed in the direction that the Lord told you. And you have actually done fairly good. There are some miraculous things that are happening, but there's wind and waves. There's other things. You're taking your attention off of Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You're looking at all of the negative things. And yet you know what God told you to do. You need to put your attention back onto Jesus. You need to look at Him. You need to stay in communion with Him and let God speak encouragement into your heart. And either confirm or say, no, you've missed it and go this direction. But you get that word from God and then don't take your attention off of Him. Don't look at the wind and the waves. Don't look at anything contrary. Don't look at what the stock market is doing. Don't look and listen to what other people say you can or cannot do. You go to God. You hear from Him and you head in that direction. And I promise you that if you do that, then you can run with patience the race that is set before you. This is how patience comes. It comes by looking unto Jesus. It's already been given to us. It's actually a fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5:23. You have patience, but you've got to draw it out. And you know how you draw it out? By getting in the presence of God, getting a word from Him. And patience comes through comfort and hope of the Scriptures. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Boy, this is critical. Patience, you cannot win. You can't fulfill God's will without patience. And patience comes by looking unto Jesus. Patience comes when you take faith and just continue over a prolonged period of time. And I tell you, that's something that every one of us has to do. And there are some of you that are just impatient. And you know what? You need to repent. You need to go to the Lord. And you need to get back into His presence and start listening to God. And God will tell you things that will encourage you and keep you on track and keep you going in the right direction. Today's going to be my last day to talk about patience and how that's used in fulfilling God's will. Now, this is the second teaching in a 5-part set that I've entitled, How to Fulfill God's Will. And this second teaching is our gift to you. If you cannot or would not send any money to get it, my partners have enabled me to give this CD to you as a free gift. If you'll listen, our announcer will give you some information, and you can call or write and receive this CD, or you can get the entire album entitled, How to Fulfill God's Will. And then join me again tomorrow as we continue to talk about how to fulfill God's will.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Fulfill God's Will, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD, as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes 3 albums, How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting 4 stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order.
Once again, let me just remind you that today is our last day to make this second teaching in our 5-part set available as a free gift. We do offer the album for a donation of any amount. There's 5 CDs in this album, and we ask for some gift of some amount for that. But there's some people that wouldn't give anything. And so we take each individual CD in this 5-part album and make them available one at a time as a gift. And today is my last day to make this teaching entitled Run with Patience available as our gift to you. So I encourage you to call or write and receive this teaching and also to get this entire album entitled How to Fulfill God's Will.
You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center camp meeting September 12th through the 17th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 18th through the 19th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado, at Caris Christian Center, October 3rd. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 4th through the 8th, in Buxton, Derbyshire, in England, for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 18th through the 20th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 11th through the 13th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis more than 20 years ago. I had control of nothing. My arms, my legs, I had no control.
Each day I felt like I could wake up and my mom would be gone. It was really hard for me.
I began to feel helpless. The frustration of not being able to fix something when you're a fix-it guy.
Andrew put it so clearly. That's what freed me. The more I applied the word, then the healing will come. The healing will come. Just gradually, gradually. And that was okay for me because I knew that I was healed.
For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries today.